I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Robert Moss joins us, The Power of Dreams, and we'll have open lines for you this hour. The numbers to follow in just a moment. Ford Motor Company has asked Congress for a credit line of as much as $9 billion, saying it expects to break even or even be profitable before taxes in 2011. The automaker said it hopes to avoid tapping the financing and doesn't anticipate a liquidity crisis next year, barring what they say a competitor's bankruptcy or more severe economic slump. Ford plans to sell 5 corporate jets, and they say they'd pay their chief executive, Alan Mulally, a $1 annual salary if the loan is used. GM and Chrysler say they'll pay their CEOs a buck, too. Ford, GM, and Chrysler must convince a divided Congress that their plans to shrink are severe enough to ensure repayment of $25 billion in proposed loans. Lawmakers are split on whether any aid should come from a $700 billion rescue fund or Energy Department loans approved sometime in September. And Ford says that its November U.S. light vehicle sales tumbled 31% amid a continued slump in consumer spending and tight credit markets. Toyota sales fell 34% despite its extension of 0% financing on a dozen vehicles. The United Nations' leading asteroid scientist says the international community better prepare to act to prevent asteroids colliding with the planet. Boy, I hope they don't know anything that they're not telling us. Professor Richard Crothers' comments came as a group of space experts called for a coordinated science-led response to the asteroid threat. The Association of Space Explorers says missions to intercept asteroids will need global approval. The UN will meet in February to discuss this issue. How about this? A travel entrepreneur who introduced hundreds of thousands of Americans to European travel in the 1960s has now taken luxury travel to new heights. The edge of space. Jules Klar, founder of the Phoenix-based Rocket Ship Tours, has announced that his company will immediately begin selling rides to the edge of space for $95,000 a flight. Participants will fly around the Lynx, a 2-seat suborbital vehicle being built by California-based XCOR Aerospace. And we've got Jules on the line with us right now. Jules, this is an incredible idea. How'd you come up with it?
George, it's nice to talk to you. Well, I've been in the travel business for virtually all of my business life, and I've been a wholesale tour operator who's always been thinking outside of the box, and it was a logical thing for me to get involved with XCOR Aerospace when the private sector of space tourism started operations started to get involved. And I believe that it is in the hands of the private sector. It's incumbent upon the private sector to lead the way, because governments have spent billions and billions of dollars, and they still haven't done it the right way. And I believe that offering an opportunity for an average individual to go to the edge of space is something that I want very much to be involved with, and I am very much involved with XCOR Aerospace.
$95,000 a flight, that is a far cry from the $20 million that the Russians are charging people to go way up into space. So I guess that's kind of affordable. Do you think, Jules, over time, that price is going to come up way down?
Well, I think certainly with the way XCOR is doing it, because they are the leaders in reusable rocketry, and they have a track record dating back to 1999 where they've had more than 3,500 rocket firings without a single incident, and no one has been able to match that record. In fact, if you look at all the rocket firings in the 21st century, XCOR has actually had more than half of what the aerospace industry has had. So they have a remarkable track record. They do things the right way. It's one step at a time. And that's the company I want to be associated with, because I believe that in time we'll get the prices down even further than $95,000.
Tell me about the Lynx, the two-seater.
Well, the two-seater Lynx is a rocket ship, which is propelled by four rocket engines. Our passengers, who we call participants, actually sit in the co-pilot seat, and you go up with your astronaut pilot, a fellow named Rick Searforce, who's spent more than 39 days in space. He's commanded missions. He's a highly decorated individual, and he's the chief test pilot for X-Corps Aerospace. So Lynx is currently under construction, and when completed, there'll be a series of test flights conducted by Rick Searforce, and then when we believe that it is ready and safe to go, that's when we will start our operations. But we're now open for business, and anyone can find out about us and more about us, and if they like, they can put down a deposit and actually be part of this very exciting adventure.
I just love the fact that this entire humanity seems to be finally moving ahead, Jules. That's exciting. Your website is rocketshiptours.com, right?
That's correct. And if any of your listeners want to know more about it, that'll certainly give them a lot of information. And we're so excited about the possibilities of opening up space to the private sector, because in my view, this is the only way it's really going to happen. It's incumbent upon the human race to get involved in space exploration, because we know that the explorer inside of us is going to welcome this. And frankly, I think it's incredibly important for the survival of the human race on Earth.
All right, Jules, thanks so much for being on the program.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much, George, for having me.
A red alert remained in place in Venice as the highest water levels in 20 years submerged 95% of the city and forced residents to navigate through the thigh-deep water. The flooding forced Venice's mayor to issue a travel warning, asking residents not to leave their homes and urging tourists to simply stay away. In Texas City, Texas, this is kind of a grisly story. A 62-year-old woman has been hospitalized after authorities found her barely alive with maggots eating her flesh. Police found the woman after someone called 911 claiming to be her son and said his mother had bed sores and needed an ambulance. The caller, who police are searching for, said the back door of the house would be open and hung up. When officers arrived, they found the woman in the really deplorable condition. A walrus has become a star attraction with visitors at a zoo in Turkey by learning to play the saxophone. Under the direction of her trainer, Sarah the Walrus grips brass instruments between her flippers and blasts out a note. It's incredible. Should have the picture up there under Hot Stories at coasttocoastam.com. Now, here are the phone numbers. We've got open lines for you for the rest of this hour. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here's the wild card line for you, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We've got open lines for you this entire hour. And the next hour, we're going to talk about some incredible things that people have been doing with dreams, specifically how presidents have had dreams and have turned themselves into true greatness. So that's going to be a fascinating program. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up with first-time caller in Winnipeg. Adam, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hello, Adam. Hi, what's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to get your take on the whole dead zone theory, you know, about part of clairvoyance from your brain and how, like, I don't know, Stephen King did some work on it, but it's not to the actual occult thing that I'd found it from. But I did some research of my own recently on the internet, and I found that, get your take on it first.
Well, what did you stumble across?
Well, I found out that in some of the studies, they did brain studies on chimpanzees and then, you know, trying to in relation to human and so forth. And they'd found that one chimpanzee knew where his mother was in actual relation to when they were separated for the testing. And this part in the brain went off, and it's a part of the brain that neither a human or a chimpanzee actually uses. Out of the actual five, I don't know, there's like five parts to the brain, the lobes, left and right, and I don't know, I'm spacing off here.
That's okay. Look, you're not a brain surgeon, so you're doing real well. Adam, I think that it's beyond the brain. I think that there's something that we have in this ether. Some have called it that. I call it the wireless internet that connects us with other people and other things. And I think that is what all of us who might have some intuitiveness about us, telepathy, that's what we're tapping into right now. I don't think it's the brain. I really don't. West of the Rockies, Sebastian in Huntington Beach, California, you are up with us. Hey, Sebastian. Sebastian, are you there? Nope, he's not there. So let's try Rachel in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hello, good evening, George.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I think I'm hooked into the ether, and I really don't want to be.
Why not? You're on it. It's take the ride.
Because I have been feeling I'm a sensitive kind of to the earthquake, and I have been feeling waves like you wouldn't believe. Like earlier this evening, I felt one that just really took me for a loop, and a few days ago had another one, and I'm just wondering if it's us or if I'm feeling something that's going the other way. I don't know.
We got to keep our eyes on this.
I'm telling you.
Has this happened to you before?
Oh yeah. I mean, when I first came into LA, it was really something. I came out here in 1978 or so, and I about 1979 or 80, I had a feeling like my arm was broken, and I had done nothing that wrong with it, but what happened was that there was an earthquake, you know, and I came from East Coast, so it was really amazing for that to happen to me. You know, and I've shared a couple of other things that happened in regards to earthquakes, but these are really blowing me away. It's really strong. And the one
well,
I
you
got
know,
tonight
it's funny,
was
Rachel.
Just something.
Now tell me exactly what you felt.
It's like vertigo. I was just walking, going from the living room to the kitchen, going to get something to drink, got to the kitchen, and just went like I was being on a roller coaster, but I was standing up and got extremely dizzy, almost like I was gonna throw up. And it's like vertigo, like you're going backwards, but you're not going anywhere. But, you know, it was really bad.
Well, let me tell you something now. Mm. Our expert geologist, Jim Berkland,
you've probably heard him
on the program before.
Yes, I have.
He thinks around December 12th or so, there's another window of the possibility of another big earthquake in Southern California.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't, you know, what I felt tonight was just totally, it scared me. And, you know, of course, I'm ready as I'll ever be. But I'm just, you know, that, it, you know, if it's a warning for all the coast listeners out there, you know, it's nothing to mess around with because I've felt it.
All right. Let's see what happens. Let's go next to Anchorage, Alaska, way up there. Frenchie, how are you?
All right, how you doing, young man?
Good, sir. Good.
Hey, this Barack Obama thing about him being illegal or not, I think what we ought to do as a whole, as a nation, is put an intention out there that we find out only if he is legal, and if he is, that he serves. If he isn't, that they take whatever steps they need to take. But I think whenever you have them guys on it debating about it and stuff like that, every time they do that, you ought to put that out there, that everybody as a nation put the intent out there that if he is legal, that he serves, but if he is not, then they take whatever steps need to be taken. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. In the last I had heard, the Supreme Court, part of the Supreme Court, will meet in conference in just a few days, December 5th, and decide if they think it's worthy of even looking into again. So the issue hasn't ended yet. It's still there. I don't know if it's going to move forward, but, you know, there's still little splinter suits out there hanging around. And the big one, of course, is around December 5th, the Supreme Court in conference, which means closed doors. This isn't going to be a hearing or anything like that. They're just going to decide whether they think they should look into this any further. And we'll see what happens. And, you know, if they decide no, it'll probably die right there. And that would be the end of it. And, you know, people will always wonder, I think. But let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. You know, as what I'm saying right now, we are in such a mess economically and with the war in Iraq and Afghanistan and everything. We got to do the right thing. There's no doubt about that. We got to follow through with the Constitution. That's important. That's critical. But let's hope that everything works out, because we can ill afford any more tension and problems in this country right now. And what an upheaval that would be. That would be a constitutional nightmare, to be sure. So let's just wait it out, folks. Let's go to Atlanta. Calvin, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello, Calvin.
Hello, George Norrie. How are you?
Okay, well.
I'm calling about my friend's invention, high energy. It's static electricity, and it needs water. It'll replace all the fossil burning of power plants that are around here, and that's why Biden and Obama are going to do that.
I hope so. Now, tell me about your friend. How did he come up with this?
He's gotten the patent and everything from a German scientist in Iran, and he's bought it. It's been 7 years, and it hasn't really seen light of day yet. It had a confidentiality agreement until it comes to light. Only a little bit of a message was in his acceptance speech when he said, a new energy source harnessed.
So you think this is going to be it, huh?
Oh, it'll be. America will be number one again, and the economy will come back.
This would be exciting. What does the machinery look like? What's it look like?
It could be basically the schematics could be as small as ABCD, 9 volt, all the way to high energy, to electric car. You know,
it's going to be, it could power a car. Can it power our house?
It'll change the world, you know, basically, but they got to gradually bring it in.
How are they going to make money on it? That'll be the bottom line.
Well,
right?
The U.S. Energy Board has bought the high energy. So you'll see it come to light in a few years or this year.
Okay. Keep in touch with us.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. That's what we do need is a new energy source. And who knows? You're hearing it here on the program. Maybe somebody has it. Paul in Tennessee, welcome to the program. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, George, it's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks.
The one thing that keeps me going late at night while I'm at my night job.
What do you do at night?
Gas station attendant.
All right, cool. And you're well safe, and you're safe. You're behind a plexiglass window. You're okay, right?
No plexiglass, but I'm in a pretty decent area. Nothing really bad happened.
That's good. Okay, good.
Well, I've actually got your question on what your take is on a form of digital clairvoyance, meaning the ability to predict what's going to happen in electronic forms of media.
Yes.
Such as like video games or online gambling and things like that, because I've noticed that there's a free online game that I play called Stockcraft that has a game in it called 50-50, where you put a certain amount up and somebody puts a certain amount up, and then whoever wins gets 90% of the total winnings.
Is that phony money or real stuff?
It's phony. It's in-game money. But the thing of it is when I take the 50-50 bets, 9 times out of 10, I can pick, you know, if I'm going to take this, I'm going to lose it, or I'm going to win it, and 90% of the time, I'm able to tell correct.
Well, you're pretty lucky.
Yeah, and the thing of it is if I try to do it in the real world, I'd like massive buckets of sale. But when in the electronic spectrum, you know, the electronic media, you know, things like online games and whatnot, I'm able to call it 90% of the time and actually win it.
How do you do this then? Why can you do it in the electronic world and not in the real physical?
I don't know. That's why I want to get your take. Is it just like pure luck, or is it the ability to predict what's going to happen?
Paulie, nobody can be lucky 90% of the time. There's something else to it. Got to be.
I mean, now,
what it is, I do not know, but I don't think it's pure luck.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring your opinion and see what your opinion is because I've been able to do it 90% of the time in the games, a variety of different games and whatnot.
One of the things that I'll talk with our guest about next hour, we'll talk about some of these things because he's into precognitive dreams. He's into all these things. We've got open lines for you for the entire hour. We're going to give you the phone numbers again in just a moment. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. So we'll be right back right here on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Robert Moss joins us, The Secret History of Dreaming and the Three Only Things, Tapping the Power of Dreams. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, if you have not subscribed yet to the free Coast Zone newsletter, do so by going to coasttocoastam.com. Click the link there. There's information there on the homepage, and you'll be able to get this free e-newsletter. You'll love it. And also, beginning sometime next week, those of you who are getting the free newsletter, you'll be able to have a sneak peek, as well as all you Streamlink members, of course. I'm going to tell you about something in just a moment. But you'll be able to get a sneak peek of the brand-new coasttocoastam.com website that should debut around January 15th. Very user-friendly, colorful, lots of video, pictures, information. You're going to love that. But subscribe to the free Coast Zone newsletter, if you would, by going to coasttocoastam.com. And also, for you Streamlink members, we're now working on your ability to download more than just the past 90-day shows. We are going to try to get you as many as we can put on there for years gone back. And let me tell you something, at $7 or so a month for Streamlink, that's a heck of a deal. I'll tell you why. They used to, many years ago, sell audio tapes of the programs, and they would sell them for a pretty good chunk of money. Now, for just being a Streamlink member at $7 a month, you can download the past 90 days, but eventually you'll be able to get almost the entire library here of Coast to Coast AM. So that's coming up too, and we'll fill you in on that. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go right back to the phones. West of the Rockies, we've got Wade in Fresno, California. Hey, Wade, what's going on?
Yeah, how you doing, George?
Good.
Yeah, I have a question about telepathic communications.
Sure.
Yeah, I was wondering exactly what it means. What, I don't know.
Well, now, have you ever thought about somebody and that other person was thinking about you and you two seemed to connect? You didn't even use a telephone. And sure enough, you know, you were able to send a message to somebody else, and they just knew what you were doing and what you were thinking. Ever happened to you?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
So it's kind of like something that twins have, you know, when they're born.
Twins do have it in many cases. People who are close with each other have it in many cases. I've done experiments, Wade, on trying to send, let's say, like numbers to somebody. And if you really know them and you can do it and you can concentrate, you know what? We've done it six, 7 times out of 10. And, you know, that's beyond odds to be able to pick that up, way beyond it. You know, if you want to try like 5 numbers, the odds are 20% that you're going to get it right. And, you know, you tell your friend, okay, just mentally make a chalkboard on your head, all right? Just erase everything in your head. I'm going to send you a number. You send the number, and 20% is the odd. But if they get 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10, you're dealing with 60 or 70%. It's very high. As a matter of fact, I'll try this experiment on all of you right now. I'm going to send you a number between 1 and 5. You can send me a fast blast if you get it. Just simply clean your head, blank it out, don't pick a number until I tell you I've sent it, and then grab the very first number that just pops in your head. Don't even think about it. You think about it, it's not going to work. Here we go. Okay, I sent the number 4. If you get that, well, then this thing probably works. Northern Michigan we go. Hey, hello, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, George. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I sure can.
Okay. First time caller, long time listener, since back with Art Bell, 2001.
Though you sound like you're calling me in some barrel or something.
Well, let me, try this here.
Is that a little better?
That is much better.
Okay. I apologize. I had a Bluetooth, on.
What a difference.
Yeah, I might need a new Bluetooth headset.
I think so.
But the reason I'm calling you tonight is I wanted to get your opinion and your take on something that I've been thinking about quite a bit since the election. I watched the election closely, and I am a Christian by practice, and
all right.
I am somewhat knowledgeable of the, you know, the Bible and Revelations, and where it talks about with the end times and with the coming of the third Antichrist. And as I watch the election, and as I watch things take place as they did with Barack Obama, and I'm not saying that he is, but I'm actually just looking for your opinion, what you think on this. But we had somebody in an election where they had things that were quite remarkable as far as things that were brought against him. You know, I bring up Reverend Jeremiah Wright and his preachings. That he had started his political career in the house of the guy who, you know, had a plot to bomb the White House. And, you know, there was other things such as, you know, him being filmed, not placing his hand over his heart during the national anthem. And you know, right before the election, he was endorsed by terrorist organizations as well as many other concernable countries throughout the world. To name, you know, a couple of the organizations, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, but that doesn't make him a bad person. You know,
it doesn't make him a bad person, but...
If a terrorist group wants to endorse a presidential candidate, what it basically means is you know what, they as terrorists... are hopeful that whoever, if this person wins, is going to attempt to get us out of the quagmire that we're in, which is what these terrorists are attempting to fight back at.
Yeah.
And now I'm losing you. Hello? Now you're gone. Now, well, let me try to summarize where I think you are headed. I do not believe Barack Obama is the Antichrist at all. If he was born on June 6, 1966, you'd probably look at that and go, that's kind of strange, isn't it? I just don't believe he is. And I'm sure he made a lot of mistakes when he was a younger person and associating with a lot of people of questionable integrity. Yet the majority of the Americans felt that he was the better candidate of the two, and they overlooked those issues of his youth. You know, leading right through to Reverend Wright, which he carried on in his life until that became a problem. Bottom line is, though, the majority of the Americans seem to be fed up with the status quo, and so they simply wanted a change. And we'll see what happens with this change. The way I look at it is, he's elected. I do not believe the Supreme Court's going to do anything about whether his birth certificate is authentic or not. And so... well, you better support him and see what he can do for the next 4 years. We did that with George Bush. You know, the criticism of George Bush did not explode until after we went into Iraq, and that's when his bottom fell out. Okay? He had the support of most Americans when we went into Afghanistan to try to take care of Osama bin Laden and his group of cronies. But after that, things just fell apart for George Bush. But we gave him his chance, didn't we? And I think that's what we need to do now with President-elect Barack Obama. Whether you supported him or not in the election, you got to give him the chance, and let's see what he can do. I got to tell you, I doubt if it'll be any worse than what we've had over the last 8 years, whether it had been Barack Obama or John McCain. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Daniel in Indiana, you're up with us. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, George.
Hey, Dan, I can barely hear you, too.
Uh-oh. Hold on a second.
All right.
Okay.
There you go. Much better. Okay.
I'm kind of echoing what you just talked about. I decided to call after hearing your caller from Alaska. And I need to kind of preface this. I believe that the Constitution needs to be upheld.
Absolutely.
However, I think given the sidestepping that the Constitution's been given the last 8 years to kind of all of a sudden raise a fuss now about the possibility that maybe for a few months he lived outside the country and was born somewhere else. Again, I if it comes out that he was born outside the, yes, the Constitution needs to be upheld. But again, with everything that's happened, to now say, oh, the Constitution and just kind of ignore the travesties of the last few years, it's not only telling, but I think is a little bit disingenuous.
I mean, we need to set up for any other future presidential candidates some kind of screening. You know, when you go to get your driver's license, I mean, they take everything but your firstborn to find out who you are.
Yes.
As long as you're not an illegal immigrant, of course, that you can get a driver's license pretty easily. But if you're a U.S. citizen, you bring your birth certificate, addresses. You got to bring envelopes sometimes to show that you're getting mail at this address. We need to set up a very rigid program for anybody who wants to declare himself or herself a candidate for president and go through the birth certificate, everything to make sure that they qualify.
And part of what I'm wondering is what kind of, you know, I don't know, Marxist extreme Muslim indoctrination do they think is going to take place in the first few months of a person's life, even if he was born somewhere else? It's not, is that making sense at all? Or
you know what, I don't know what kind of president he's going to be, but I know that he loves America. And he loves what we're trying to do as a nation, and I think he's going to do the best he can. Has he surrounded himself with the best people? A lot of people think so, but they sure seem to be one world government type people. I mean, these are higher up people, like Zbigniew Brzezinski, for example, is a globalist. He's got his own agenda. I question some of those decisions. But I think, by and large, Barack Obama is a good-spirited human being and cares for the welfare of people. And, you know, I just think after everything we've been through over these past 8 years, we just ought to give the guy a chance. You know, that's the reason why I don't vote for president, because I don't want anyone to accuse me of supporting John McCain or Barack Obama or a libertarian. I call it the way I see it. That's my responsibility. That's my duty. You listen to this program. You want an unbiased view from me. I think you trust me because of that. And that's what you're going to get from me. And believe me, I'll be the first one to jump up and down and be critical if we have to be. I'm not the kind of person that's going to defend a Democrat or a Republican or anybody else. They're either going to be good for us as people, or they're not. And if they're not, you know, we're going to put them under a microscope. Brian in Texas, you're up with us. Hey, Brian.
Hey, George. It's really great to talk to you. Thanks for all the sleepless nights.
Many more to come, Brian.
Okay. And also, I want to shout out to Lex, who's got the best webmaster job in the world. Hey, I wanted to put this Obama thing, which I think you're tired of talking about, into kind of a coast-to-coast perspective.
All right.
For all of the years I've been listening, you know, it started with George Bush the first. You know, when he left office, there was going to be some crisis, and, you know, the election was going to be recalled, or he wasn't going to leave. And it happened with Clinton. It happened with George Bush in 2004, and it's been called out again. Several of the coast-to-coast guests who have intuitive abilities have stated some of these things. Even some of your guests that don't even claim intuitive abilities, you know, have suspected things like this. So what I would encourage you to do, since this is such a big topic, do it on the air so we can all hear it, but at least privately go back over the years and contact these guys and saying, is this what you guys were maybe intuiting? Is this the crisis? Because, you know, when these guys get these things, you know, they have to interpret it in their own time space.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were saying, oh, well, this president's going to be the one. This president's going to be the one. But maybe this is what they were all seeing. Does that make any sense to you?
John Hogue, who looks into prophecy, believes that this president is not the Antichrist.
Oh, I'm not saying he's the Antichrist.
No, I know, but that, okay. so he's one of the experts we've looked at like that. I mean, we can go back and look at what some of the past people have predicted, but I don't recall anybody specifically channeling a president and saying anything specifically about them. They have talked about events. Oh, yes, lots of that. Fort Wayne, Indiana. Carla, go ahead.
Yes, I've got a prediction about 2012, Barack Obama, Osama bin Laden. Barack Obama is going to be the one that's going to capture him in November or December of 2012.
You mean we have to wait that long, Carla?
Unfortunately, yes. He's going to be a uniter, and that's not only globally, but also democratically and republicanly. And who's going to run for president in 2012 to take office in 2013? Believe it or not, it's going to be Hillary Clinton's going to run for president, and her VP is going to be Sarah Palin.
All right, there's your prediction. Hillary's going to have a rough time. You know, she's accepted the Secretary of State's nod. I don't think she could run against the guy who appointed her without looking foolish. Unless the bottom has fallen out. That's the bottom line here. If the bottom has fallen out, she may say, hey, I got to do this. But, you know, we'll see. We got a long road to hoe for four more years. First time caller, you're up there.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. This is
Don in Toledo.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a first time caller, long time listener. Keeps me up at night, but full of a lot of information. Wouldn't miss it. What I want to talk about is changing the subject. So like our energy crisis that we have. Now, right here, right within Northwestern Ohio, where I live at, it's like Toledo. There's probably about three different answers, you know, to our energy crisis. And I just want to know, like, how serious our government about this, because there's all kind of different, inventions and alternatives that are going on. And, I'd like to know, are they really looking at this? For instance, within a 30-mile radius of where I live at, the University of Bowling Green, you know, they've experimented with the technology that the Nazis did, taking fuel from coal. Right at the University of Toledo, stalk grass turned it into alcohol. And in Napoleon, Ohio, there's a gentleman who proved that he has a car, that he drove it from Toledo all the way to Las Vegas, that he can get 100 miles a gallon. And he proved it. You know, they doubted him.
Now
the big three has looked at him. They said, well, there's discussion. You know, it's always like, are we going to ever get beyond the politics of oil? You know, I heard your guest, David Bloom, brought that out so well,
yep.
You know. And just this week, Dow Chemical announced that they have been experimenting with using the stalk of a corn plant and turning that into fuel.
That's right.
So these answers are all around us. It's just, how serious is our government about getting us off the fossil fuels and getting this country moving in the right direction? Because the answers are there.
Don, I don't think the government is prepared to get us off these kinds of fuels, get us off oil. I don't call oil fossil fuel, by the way, because I think this planet generates it. But they don't want to get us off that. It's too much. It's big business. I mean, we could. If you listen to David Bloom, we could go to alcohol as fuel immediately, right now. Cleaner, cheaper. Of course, it may not be as cheap as what gasoline is now. Maybe they're doing that on purpose, too. Anyway, I'll be back in a moment. Let's go dreaming on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back. Don't go away.